fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday, the 11th day of February, year of our Lord 2022. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Yes, we start with a pledge. I'm proud to say, if you want to volunteer, just send me an email. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The prepper tip of the day is to have a plan A, have a plan B, and have a plan C. This regards pretty much everything when it comes to your preparations, not only an alternative bug-out location, but alternative place to store important documents, for example, alternative to filtering water, getting access to clean, potable water. Lots of things. You should have a plan A and plan B. That should be just the way you live your life. All right. We're hoping that Tom Berryhill will call in. If and when he does, we will bring Tom on, and we'll be talking about emergency survival communications and ham radio. He typically runs a couple of minutes late. Tragedy this past Tuesday in Metro Chicago and East Texas. 2 young men died while playing basketball. High school basketball players died of heart attacks this past Tuesday. Now, I don't know what the odds are of a top athlete, high school athlete, basketball player dying of a heart attack is. It has to be very tiny. We don't know yet. The public record does not reflect whether either of these young men had the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. I'd say it's highly likely they did, but we simply don't know. We don't know. There's multiple videos. I've got some on my website of various athletes in different athletic events, and even in one case a referee dropping over dead from a heart attack, possibly having a heart attack and surviving. That happens also while they're playing their favorite sport. And before we bring Tom on, who's waiting patiently, the bottom of the third hour, we're going to talk about something that took place in January and February and March of 1968. That would be the Tet Offensive. I haven't mentioned that yet this year. I try to do that every year. We do have patiently waiting in green room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with ham radio, emergency survival communications, electronics in general, and manufacturing electronics. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning.
Okay, I can barely hear you. I'll turn my audio up here.
Okay, well,
give me a count of three.
One, two, three. Is that okay. Better?
I turned it up. Now I can hear you. I hope everybody else can hear you okay. Well, Tom, before you were connected, I mentioned that several days ago, Tuesday, 4 days ago, a high school athlete in Metro Chicago, basketball player in East Texas, both dropped dead of heart attacks while playing their basketball games. No, I didn't play basketball. The coach tried to recruit me. I really wasn't interested. I did get to watch these guys work out, though, Tom. It is the workouts these basketball athletes go through is intense. They are halfway through the workout. They're dripping wet with sweat, absolutely dripping wet with sweat, back and forth, continuous movement. They're top athletes in excellent condition. What we don't know, Tom, is if either or both had the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. We don't know that yet. It hasn't been released publicly. It may never be released on one hand. On the other, we have multiple documented incidents of top athletes around the world dropping over dead, playing soccer, playing tennis, other sports. And they did, in fact, have the COVID-19 vaccination. Now, Tom, I know you don't read your local newspaper, so you don't know really what's going on in your neighborhood as far as obituaries, since you don't read your local newspaper. But you're probably getting word from around town that there are more funerals, aren't you, sir?
Well, yeah, John, I do buy a paper. It only comes out once a week, and I do get one because I look at the one ads and just to see what's going on. But yes, the obituary page is filling up. And, you know, I drive past the local funeral home when I go to the post office, and they always have a sign out front that shows all the, you know, the different funerals, the people that have passed, and the times and dates for the funerals. And sometimes there's no names in there in the past, and then sometimes one, at least one, maybe two. Now that thing is usually full. I don't know if they need enough. Maybe they need another sign to put all the names in there. But the other thing I've noticed is that the people that are listed in the obituaries in the paper are younger. This past week, one of them was born in 97. And it's just the ages are lower and lower, John. And then I go to local restaurants at times. You know, we in the rural areas at the where you check out, you know, and pay your bill, restaurant bill, they'll have little cards up there from the funeral home with a picture of the deceased and the information, you know, the funeral times and all that. And you look at those, they're younger and younger people. I've never seen it before, ever. So something's going on, and of course we know what it is.
Well, there's always been younger people that would die from an illness or an automobile accident. But what we're looking at is the numbers, and the numbers of young people is what's concerning. The numbers are up dramatically, aren't they, sir?
Yes.
Well, Tom, when my show ends today, I'm going to be interviewing a funeral home director, a local guy, to get firsthand report on what he's observing and some background on funerals he did in 2019 and 2020, and focusing primarily in 2021, especially the third and fourth quarters of 2021, because everything I've seen so far shows that the real spike in funerals began the third quarter of 2021, which would be July, August, September. I fully expect to get confirmation of that. I hope to get confirmation of the funeral director's knowledge of the people who died in a COVID-19 vaccination-related matter, which could easily be a heart attack and a stroke, blood clot. All these things are directly related to COVID-19 vaccination clot shots. And of course, there are some nuances here. People routinely die of heart attacks. So what we'll be looking at in that case, did the person who died of the heart attack, were they at risk? Had they had heart issues previously? Were they taking blood pressure, other heart-related medications? Were they obese? And trying to differentiate between those who were already at risk of having a heart attack and those who had no obvious risk factors for having a heart attack when, in fact, they did have a heart attack and die. So there's a lot of nuances here, and some of it's going to be speculation, of course. But the numbers speak for themselves, the raw numbers. We had my meetup last night, my monthly meetup in Raleigh. Tom has changed. You were a guest, a speaker at one of them a number of years ago talking about ham radio. We had the largest attendance I've seen in a number of years. I met a man from India who moved to Missouri because of listening to you and I and me and my radio show. Another couple from Colorado that moved to Missouri because of my radio show. Of course, Leon moved here because of my radio show and working with me. And there's probably dozens of others that have moved here that I simply am not aware of. Got a heads up, Tom. Let's see, 27 hours ago, we posted 20 acres for sale here in Crawford County on my website for sale. It's already sold. Had
that,
one inquiry.
That doesn't surprise me.
Within 3 hours, I had a gentleman from Hawaii contact me about this property. He was ready to buy it sight unseen. He wants to get the hell out of Dodge. Being on an island or a series of islands like the Hawaiian Islands during a severe crisis, that would not be my first choice. No way. Mainly because of supply and logistic issues. So we have three more properties in Crawford County, Tom, that I hope to get listed between now and Monday morning. It's a real logistical challenge, IT challenge might be more appropriate, because of all the photographs and the time it takes my webmaster to download them because his situation with internet connection. But we're going to get as many downloaded and on my website before Monday morning as we can, because of the intense interest of people that want to move here. Well, Tom, you've worked with people that deal with the communications infrastructure all your adult life, and you know intimately how it's put together, how it was set up and manufactured, how it's maintained. We're looking at probably 1/3 to 1/4 of the people who do the installation and maintenance of the cell phone system, the landline system, and related matters, the internet connections, being dead or disabled the next 12 to 36 months. Now, at certain points, there's some men who have critical knowledge of how this infrastructure works that almost nobody else knows, isn't there, Tom?
That's 100% correct. And John, while you're talking about this and mentioning this, it reminds me, I mentioned on the show yesterday, we're talking about the energy cleaner, and I mentioned the property that came up for sale up the road from me, and it was gone, and about 24 hours it was under contract. I wanted to tell my friend about it in Illinois. He was a top engineer for the whole state of Illinois on the Verizon system, and he knew the satellite or the microwave links. I don't know if they're still using microwave links, but they did in those days in the past. A lot of it's fiber optic now, and he said they could not find people to work on the systems down to the component level. He said they didn't know how to do it, and it's hard to do anymore anyway, so it's probably not a big issue. But they had a lot of trouble finding the engineering help, technical help for field work. They just couldn't find them, and he said they had to do quite a bit of training to the people they did find. They just didn't quite grasp these things. I remember several years back talking to a woman. I went to, I think I told you the time I bought an entire fleet of radios from a trucking company that was closing down.
Right.
Well, this was almost 20 years ago. And one of the base stations I had to pick up was in Ashland, Missouri, just south of Columbia. It's on a 400-foot tower. And I went over there, and that happened to be the same building. In there was Nextel equipment and this Motorola unit for the trucking company, one of their many base stations. They had a huge system, and I had to pick up that thing. And then there was a Harris transmitter there for an FM station in Columbia, and it was the and they owned the building, so it was the general manager from there. And he said, "Now don't touch this thing over." I said, "I know what that is. I've worked on it. You know, it's a Harris such and such." He says, "You know how to work on those?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Would you call this lady?" He gave me a card for a woman in northern Missouri who was the manager for this small group of radio stations. And, you know, one of the first things she asked me, she says, "Do you have gray hair?" I said, "Yeah, I've got some coming in. This is 20 years ago, John." And she said, "Good." And I said, "Why would you ask that?" She said, "I can't ask your age, of course." But she says, "I just wanted to know about you. If you have gray hair, I want to talk to you." She said, "We try to hire new people for technical help." And she said the best candidate we ever found paid a lot. And she says, "I felt so sorry for this young man. He paid a lot of money to go to some sort of broadcast engineering school, and the only thing the most complex thing he ever worked on was some kind of VCR. They were trying to repair a VCR." She said they never taught him anything about the RF side of things, how to do any of this type of work, and she said he was the best we could find. John, this was 20 years ago. It's right. Only gotten worse since then. In any of this type of work, and the cell phone companies, I'll tell you what my friend told me. He's now retired from Verizon, but here's what he told me just a few weeks ago. We had a long conversation about this very subject, and he said they're farming this out now. He said there are teams of engineering people that come in, technical people that come in. He said most of them are foreign. They're bringing them in from Thailand, Singapore. He said that they're not hiring very many Americans. He said we don't even help from China. He said we can't find people in the States that really apply themselves. You know, John, I did a lot of when I manufactured multi-layer printed circuits. One of my customers was the University of Missouri, the Rolla campus. I did work, of all places, civil engineering, but also electrical engineering. And I'd be out there in Rolla on occasion. And every time I went there, I noticed that in the electrical engineering department and civil, but mainly electrical engineering and computer science, I'd say two-thirds of them are greater, maybe three-fourths of the student population was foreign.
Absolutely.
And mostly Asian.
No surprise there. No surprise. We have a break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, wait. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment. Now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by the Satellite Telephone Company. I am a satellite telephone dealer and proud of it. And lots of information to educate yourself about satellite telephones. They're very cost-effective and a big bonus. You can do all the texting you want and not use up your minutes. The details at my website at thelibertyman.com. Well, Tom, what we do is encourage people to get started with ham radio. And the best place to get started is the ARRL.org website, isn't it, sir?
Yes, it is, John, and that's where there's everything you need to start if you're just asking the question, what is ham radio? What is amateur radio? Their website will take you from that all the way up to the top, as high as you want to go. They have publications, information, lots of it, and it's a good place to start.
Well, it's not too soon to start promoting the event that takes place one weekend a year. That's Field Day, when ham radio people all over the country, and I'm not sure about outside the United States, but all over the United States, for a Saturday and a Sunday, get together typically in a public park somewhere, and they set up their equipment, It's a social event also, where there's going to be camaraderie and wonderful discussions and usually food and drink available. And they set up their equipment and they practice talking to people all around the country that weekend, don't they, sir?
Yes, John, and that's in June. The ARRL Field Day is a good way to learn emergency communications, because that's the whole idea here, is to learn how to operate out in the field on emergency power, battery power, solar panels, generators. You can get in. It's a contest also. And most of these radio clubs set up multi-operator communication systems, and they might do it in a city park. They try to get some media coverage too. Many times a newspaper will come by, take photographs, put it in a local paper. They'll be on the news that evening. They'll send reporters out there to get some video on what's going on. But they see how many people they can contact, and then the lower the power you run, the higher your score can be, because they have multipliers, and that all depends on what your power source is, how much power your transmitters are. If you're running battery-operated equipment at very low power levels, your score can add up pretty quick, except you'll get trampled on by the other stations that are using higher power. But it takes operator skills, and the only way to learn these skills is get on the air and practice. And that's certainly a good practice session, but you get started long before that. Anyway, it's quite an outing, and I've been to several of them. I haven't done that in recent years, but I actually operate under that mode most of the time anyway, John. When I do get on the air, my equipment's all battery operated. I have a trickle charger that charges the batteries for all the ham equipment that I have, and I disconnect that trickle charger when I'm on the air. I'm just straight battery operation. I also have a small solar panel set up that will charge it. If the power goes out, I can just use the solar panels to keep the batteries going. It works quite well, and I don't have to do anything special. I don't have to turn the power down. I run those radios at full power, and I can communicate just as well as when the utility electric is on.
Well, the ARRL National Convention began yesterday in Orlando, Florida, at the DoubleTree Hilton Hotel in Orlando at SeaWorld. We had more than 1,000 ham radio people show up. And there's here's what's going on, in case you want to get down there. There was a Contest University, Emergency Communications Academy, Hands-On Handbook, Technology Academy, a lot of excellent education there, displays, equipment for sale, camaraderie. So that, I believe that goes in probably until Sunday, don't you think, Tom?
Yes, that's correct. And if you're looking for a flea market to pick up odds and ends, that's a great one to go to. I was there a couple of years ago, and it was a fantastic flea market. The weather was great. And I went to, they had like tents, these large tents set up, and almost like little buildings. And they had a bunch of those set up on the fairgrounds, and that's where the various presentations were made. I went to the one for digital amateur radio television setups. A friend of mine gave that talk, and he's very well versed in that technology, and he gave a great presentation. That was interesting. But I have to tell you, the presentation, it had standing room only, and they were kind of peeking around the corner at the door. They couldn't even get any more people into that room. They were standing out on a parking lot trying to hear it.
Amazing.
That was the one it was on spy radios, John. It was a guy that was talking about World War II type spy, little portable radios that spies would use to get messages out.
Amazing.
In enemy,
hold on, Tom.
Controlled territory.
Hold on. We got a break. We had a call on hold. We'll break back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. If you haven't been there for a while, we got some new photographs right there on my homepage, a photograph of me and my beautiful Nomad motorcycle ready to go for a cruise in warm weather when everything was green, which will be that way soon here in about a couple of months. Couple of photographs of my Triumph sports car that is being restored. It's a fun project. The satellite telephones are right there on my homepage in between the Daily Intelligence Briefing and the Freedom Center USA Legal Defense Fund panel, right there on my homepage. And, of course, the Cliff High videos. I've been a fan of Cliff High for more than 20 years. He's brilliant. He has all this esoteric knowledge. He does a new video once or twice a week. And right next to that, the energy cleaner. We just happen to have the manufacturer here with us. I now offer for all you hundreds of people who have energy cleaners the Micro Plush Throws. They're warm, they're cozy, they're comfortable, very cost effective. You can use them on your bed, on your recliner, on your car seat, only $75 shipping included. They come in two colors, gray and taupe, And for your men who only have eight colors, like I only have eight colors, taupe is light brown. I've sold out of the first delivery. I'm getting a fresh delivery one day next week, so we'll have plenty of those. And Tom, I should be getting energy cleaners when, sir?
Well, I was hoping for tonight. I'm still waiting for one shipment of parts. I've never seen anything like it. They've changed the delivery date four times. Now they say today. They'll be here today. But then I need time to do the final assembly. Everything's just on hold for this one part. John, it's getting to be, it's critical trying to find these pieces.
Well, it's the nature of what we're living with, supplies and the supply chain is at risk. So anyway, the energy cleaner will be back in stock, ready for immediate shipment in a couple of days. And we focus on two things: pain mitigation, especially arthritis pain, but it could be any source of pain, and getting a great night's sleep. You can study up on the energy cleaner at my website at thelibertyman.com. You can place your order for your energy cleaner that I personally box up and ship from the little country post office at Cherryville, Missouri, priority mail, signature confirmation. The Cherryville Country Store has an all-you-can-eat catfish buffet tonight for $8. It's really popular with the local folks here. All you can eat catfish buffet for $8. The post office takes up one corner of the store, which has been there right at a century. So you can place your order for your energy cleaner, your micro plush pad, blanket, throw at my website at thelibertyman.com using PayPal, or call my toll-free order line 24 hours a day. That's 800-592-9543. Tom, our first caller is Glenn in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Tom. Hi. Tom, a little while ago you made mention of microwave communications. I'm assuming you mean terrestrial microwave data transmission. And you mentioned how a lot of that is now in fiber optic. And I couldn't help thinking how in this day of rapidly evolving technologies and this rapid rush forward to always be on the bleeding edge, the cutting edge of latest technology, sometimes older technologies are obsolesced or retired prematurely and then can't be gotten back if needed. And we see this in a lot of things, everything from vehicles and computers and that sort of thing. And back in the 90s, when I was still in nursing school and stuff like that, I had two major hospitals, both, you know, having urban high-rise buildings with clear line of sight between them. And they made use of terrestrial microwave data transmission for linking, their computer, their WAN. They made a WAN by connecting the LANs of the two separate institutions. And then they had a wide area network connecting the two. And which is, of course, an internet of sorts of its own. And that was all bridged together. But, you mentioned the fiber optics, and I'm just thinking, I wouldn't be surprised if that microwave stuff was defunct. And again, a lot of times it was in, the limitation of terrestrial microwave is they have to have line of sight. So whether you're on a couple of hills out in a rural area or on a couple tall buildings in a city, that's what you need to make that work. But again, so they've gained the physical connection by going to fiber optic, but they're also connected to the limitations or glitches and problems that can occur on those networks. So, I'm wondering what you think about the possibility that some of this terrestrial microwave stuff might be getting thrown in the dustbin a little bit prematurely.
It is. And I'll tell you what, some of that happened with the local phone company here. They're headquartered in Sullivan, Missouri, and their various offices in small towns throughout the area all had a large tower with a microwave dish that pointed back to headquarters, and that's how they linked everything together. I think it was a 5 or 6 gigahertz link. I don't remember. I knew the guy. He's now retired, but I knew the guy that was responsible for it. He let me in the back of the building once to check this stuff out. It wasn't a very big radio, pretty small, but it worked quite well. And now everything, they've trenched in and put fiber everywhere. There's fiber optic cables right across the road from me. And I will eventually be able to have fiber optic cable right to the house. So they've really expanded right. their system. My friend that worked on the cell system, the thing that shocked me is that these microwave links between the individual cell sites were on 2.4 gigahertz, same type of frequency band that a lot of the Wi-Fi routers operate in, and they were license free. He said they ran at 1 watt of power, but they had a huge dish, very large dish for high gain, a lot of antenna gain, and then they would aim those things between the towers. And he told me that they had very good performance at 1 watt of power, and some of those hops were 30 miles. You can't go much more than 30 miles with the curvature of the earth. You start losing it.
Right.
So always be, and Glenn, beware. You hear people all the time, oh, they've got a satellite, they're tracking us, they're watching us and all this, and they've got these towers, and they can see us from 200 miles away. Not from one tower, no way. Not on the microwave frequencies. This line of sight, and that goes down the drain after about 32 miles. It starts to dissipate, right. and you get up to 35 to 40 miles, there's nothing left. Because of the curvature, it goes straight out into space. So that's why the cell phones have so many towers.
Right.
They're
right.
low power, and you have the horizon to deal with.
As I understand it, terrestrial microwave provides pretty good bandwidth. And, you know,
it does.
I just think, yeah, why bother shutting it down? Like, you frequently hear, you know, around here we have Verizon has fiber, and Comcast, Xfinity has, their broadband. A lot of people don't realize that though the cable company is running coax into your home, into a router, or something like that, or basically a router, a gateway, the cable company data does basically go out on fiber optic, but it's translated out at a pole, a couple, you know, maybe 100 yards, you know, down the line. And so even though, so they're routing a copper coax in, Verizon's routing in fiber optic, at some point, all fiber optic has to be, you know, converted to translate it to copper. It's just that the cable company translates it down, you know, down at the pole, and Verizon translates it at the box in the house. But it all has to come out from fiber optic to copper and then into the boards and that sort of thing. But why give up, you know, let's say Verizon or the cable company was having some sort of outage or problem. I mean, if you're an IT manager at an institution and you're running backups between your two different locations, you know, for good procedure and safety and stuff like that, your microwave line of sight data link wouldn't be lost if the cable company were busy having a problem. You could still operate and do your backups and maintain essential functions. So it seems a shame to prematurely do away with the microwave.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure it's still being used in a lot of areas. I'll be driving along, and I'll see a cell tower. I usually check it out, see what type of antennas are up there and so on. And there's still a lot of microwave linking. It's still on there. There's a lot of
it. Oh, good.
But there's in certain areas, there's less. And in a mountainous, in a area that's where there's maybe a valley where there's no cell phone coverage, they might put a tower down there to cover that area, but they can't get any microwave link into there. So that's where fiber optic really shines. That helps them quite a bit. And they're using it more and more. We had a phone outage and internet, nothing was working here a month and a half ago, something like that. And I was talking with one of the big shots over at the phone company in Sullivan, Missouri, and he lives in my area, and he knew that I had sold them. I used to make these specialized fractional T1 repeater housings, and they had used some of my equipment, so he knew my name. And I talked to him for about a half hour, and he was telling me about some of the technology they're working with. He said, right in your area, which is rural, you know, the houses are spaced way out. And all. He said, the fiber's there. And he says, you're connected into it from the cabinet to your house. It's copper. But he said, we will eventually trunk those things right into the houses. And he said, there'll be no more copper wire. It's there now. It's just, he said, we don't have enough people to do the trenching and hook it in. He said they're doing it in the small towns, in the nearby towns where the houses are close together, cabinets are everywhere. He said they're putting fiber into right to the house right now.
Right.
And he said and that's it'll the, come that's, to use. And that's the way it's all going.
Well, and they can do that more easily in certain areas. I mean, in the less densely populated wealthy suburban areas, they can implement that, especially where they're still using poles rather than buried cable. But like here, say in the fringes of Philadelphia or you know, neighboring towns, they've got you know, buried icky pick cable, and everybody already has the coax going in, so you know it's a little more difficult to implement there. But in the suburban neighborhoods, they ran the fiber optic. It's been years on now. I remember it was a big deal when they Verizon ran in the fiber, and then, you know, basically, you know, they would route it into the houses as the people subscribed to the cable service. So you've got a little box in a closet that the fiber optic attaches to, and then it gets translated out the copper. And they have a battery that's practically useless. It's supposed to be good for 24 hours in the event of a power outage, but we always had cases where we had to, you know, start up a generator and route an extension cord over to the Verizon box in the closet to get it would be there, but you had to get power to the box to get it working. But it's kind of hard in the more densely populated urban areas where the cable's buried and you have roads and everything like that. So you still see this translation from fiber to copper, you know, out above or under the street, you know. So, all right.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Glenn.
I guess that's all I had. Thank you.
Tom, when you go from fiber optic to copper as opposed to fiber optic all the way to your house, what's the advantage you gain?
Well, speed. You see, with copper wires, John, you have to deal with loss in the wire. You have wire-to-wire capacitance changes that degrades the signal. You just can't push the data fast enough. That's the problem. The bandwidth, the amount of data that can go through there is limited. There's only so much you can do. They've done some pretty good workarounds. These DSLs, digital subscriber link or loop, I forgot what it stands for, but DSL circuits will come in over a copper line. They work quite well, but the fiber optic gives you extremely high speeds, faster than you would ever imagine, and that's the way we're going. You know, but here we're talking about ham radio today, and we're talking about some of these advanced methods with fiber optic, microwave, and so on. The microwave methods for linking buildings and towers and things together, that's old. That's been going on since the 1950s. It was certainly refined and made to work better as the years went by. But fiber optic seems to be the buzzword nowadays. And we're talking about all this, John, and we talked about the Orlando Ham Fest. When I was down there a couple of years ago, I mentioned the biggest and most well-attended presentation was the guy that did a historical overview of spy radios, what the people in occupied Europe and all that were using during World War II to get messages out. A lot of he showed radios that they were using in France and all this. And I ended up talking to a fellow who was a military contractor. He's up from in the Northeast, and he was down there. And he was very interested in this. He was talking to another guy, and I started talking to these two. But he was telling me that he supplies the military with certain types of communications equipment. He didn't go into a lot of detail, but the thing that interested me was that, and these guys were all ham operators and old older, you know, they've been in it for a while. And he said, you know what's happening? He said some of the military people he was selling to and specifying the equipment and all that, he said they told him the special forces is starting to teach Morse code again. And they want the these servicemen to learn Morse code for certain segments. They're doing
Glad to hear that.
And, you know, the spy radios in that were very compact. They were tube type. Of course, this goes back into the 40s and then 50s, 60s. Even some of the radios that they supplied the villagers in Vietnam, they had their own type of network. And some of those were AM, some were FM. But there was some CW or Morse code operations going on, and even during Vietnam.
Hold that thought, Tom. We got our last break. We got a caller on hold. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Tom, we got our last caller here. We got Cody in Illinois. Good morning, Cody.
Yeah, good morning, John. Good morning, John and Tom. John, I got a question for you in just a second, but I was going to mention to Tom, you know, when I moved to Southern Illinois, I was surprised that, you know, these WISP service providers of internet, they weren't really marketing too much. I didn't really know about it. And first provider I had was not very good at having a clear signal, but the one I've got, the office is really nice. The it's prevented me from having a big, expensive fiberglass or a fiber optic installation. I don't know. Do many people know about it in the rural areas? The WISP providers, that's that license-free, microwave internet that different entrepreneurs, typically smaller companies, provide?
I don't know if people are up to speed on that. I see signs. You come to a stop sign in these areas, and people will put up, like, yard signs that advertise their things they do. They do house cleaning, or they'll walk your dog. But I see the ones for high-speed internet, and they'll have a number on there. You can call that number, and what they do is they'll put an antenna on your roof to let you get the internet signal, and then you also become part of the infrastructure. Your system repeats the signal to maybe a neighbor a half a mile away. And is this the type of system you're talking about?
Well, I think that's that other one that I've heard about. Where they kind of give somebody free internet. I think they do it a little.
That's all they're doing.
Yeah,
that's all they're doing, and they charge for that. There's a lot of that going on around here. I've never messed with it. I've just used whatever I could get from the phone company. I don't really work on internet systems too much. There's so many people out there doing that. I try to stick with what I do best. I wish I knew more about it, but I don't, because it's just not my thing.
I would encourage anybody in those rural areas, that sometimes these small guys, they don't market themselves very well, but sometimes you can get high-speed internet to your house, or you might have to buy a little tower to get up over trees, but at least you don't have to spend thousands of dollars trenching a fiber optic line, potentially. But, John, I had a question for you about St. Louis.
Yes, sir.
There is, somebody said the Tums factory, they think there's some federal institution that's kind of hidden within that Tums factory, because there's always some, like, a federal vehicle kind of parked out front. When they had protests, they very quickly were making sure that that building was protected. And then, some of this came kind of through some contractors that have worked in that area, and they said there's a bunch of, black suits guys that when you walk through there, they just, they don't want you to, see too much. I thought it was very interesting, why it's, next door or hidden within the Tums factory in, St. Louis. I didn't know if you knew anything about it. I was curious.
I haven't heard. I know the location you're talking about is right downtown St. Louis, but I have no knowledge of what you're talking about.
Well, I was mentioning this. He's got to be right on it, because you can pull up a satellite map and you can see a federal vehicle, parked on that main street, And then he said when there was protests right away, they were making sure that building's protected. So I don't know if it's NSA and the fact that it's, where it's located at. Is that, I know I look up
hard
the roof there, you can kind of see. I was just kind of curious. I didn't know if you'd ever heard anything.
I'll see if I can check that out. I appreciate the heads up, Cody.
Maybe it's one of those black sites. Anyway,
so.
Thanks, John. Have a good one.
Okay.
Bye.
Tom, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I'll see you later today.
Thanks, John.
Okay. We got top of the hour break. We'll have open lines at the top of hour two.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner.
We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.